Little or nothing is known about the hours leading up to this moment. Such details have perhaps forever vanished into the fog of time. What is clear is this. It was late at night, in a remote province of the Middle East, in ancient times. A man, apparently, and most likely a thief, is on his knees. His hands are bound with rough cord, and he is begging for his life. Across from him stands another man, holding an old oil lantern that casts flickering shadows across the room. In his other hand, he grips a knife, its blade heavy with the weight of intent. He is within both his God-given and earthly rights to use it. That man's name is Solomon, a good and decent man who we know for certain is the owner of the humble store the unlucky, likely thief had tried to steal from that night. But Solomon, being a man faithful to the laws of both heaven and earth, knows that every action must be accounted for. The knife in his hand may rest on his rights, but the weight of taking a life is a burden he cannot carry lightly. He must give account to the Lord for the blood he is about to spill, and for that he needs a name. "Tell me your name," Solomon commands. The thief hesitates, and for a moment no sound escapes. Perhaps it is shame, or perhaps it is fear, but when the words finally come, they cut sharper than any blade in the room. "My name is Solomon, good sir." The righteous man blinks, stunned by the response. His grip on the knife loosens just slightly, as if the words themselves carried weight enough to disarm him. Two Solomons, two men, standing on opposite sides of judgment, tied together by the coincidence or providence of their name. Now, to keep the story from slipping into confusion, we shall fairly name each man with an epithet befitting his role. From this moment on, the man standing with the knife shall be known as Solomon the Righteous, and the man kneeling in bonds shall be called Solomon the Thief. Solomon the Thief, now on his knees, begs for his life. His voice shakes, frantic and full of the weight of his regret. "Please forgive me, good sir. I'll never steal again, I promise. I'll repay you somehow. Just please don't take my life." His words spill out in a desperate flood, each excuse more feeble than the last, but they are all he has left. The rationale, the justification for his unexplainable actions, he grasps at anything, hoping to avoid the inevitable. But Solomon the Righteous, standing above him, is disconcerted. The thief's pleading does not seem so different from his own, his desperation, his promise. And then the name, Solomon. As he looks down at the man before him, it occurs to him how little separates them. The thief could be his reflection. Same age, same skin color. Perhaps they were even born on the same day, under the same stars. Only by the grace of God, it seems, did one of them find the right path. Solomon the Righteous feels a stirring of empathy in his chest, and for a moment, the knife in his hand feels like a weight too great for him to carry. How can he pass judgment on a man who might have been him, had he not been blessed with the opportunities that guided him to a different life? "Forgiven you are, brother," Solomon the Righteous said, "for God has had mercy on me first, and it is that mercy that you now receive." Solomon the Thief, still bound and kneeling, let out a shuddering breath. "As the Lord is my witness," he said, "I won't steal again, and I'll find my way to repay you for your grace, I swear it." Solomon the Righteous nodded. "To rectify your ways is enough, good brother. There is nothing else to be repaid." The thief, hearing these words, felt a warmth rise within him, a warmth born not from guilt, but from something far greater. Mercy. Solomon the Righteous stepped back slowly, the knife still in his hand, but no longer as a weapon, now just an instrument of decision. "Go and do not return to thievery. That is the only repayment I ask." "I swear I'll repay you one day," the forgiven thief said as he left, never to return to that land. As for whether he kept his promise during his lifetime, that too has vanished into the fog of time. The details are lost, forever hidden in the haze of forgotten days. What we do know is this. They both died of natural causes on the same day, though, not at the same time. And so Solomon the Righteous went to the place all souls go when they die. There, he awaited in the line where souls must wait for their judgment. In front of him stood a golden angel at the gates of heaven, holding the list of sins for all souls. When each soul approached, the angel would ask, "What's your name?" Then the angel would read even the smallest of sins and the punishment that must be borne before entering heaven. But when it was Solomon's turn and the angel asked, "What is your name?" he replied, "Solomon, sir." "My name is Solomon." The angel said nothing. Instead, he opened the gates and simply said, "Welcome to heaven, sir. Enjoy your stay." Solomon, a righteous man, felt a stirring of confusion. He stepped forward, hesitated, and then said, "There must be some mistake, sir. I've tried to live a decent life, but I know I've made mistakes. There must be a list, full of them." The angel looked at him, unmoving, then replied, "Yes, I'm sure too. You have much to answer for." Solomon waited for the judgment, but the angel continued. "But this morning, there was another man with the same name, another Solomon. And he stole your list of sins."